All right, bang bang. Today is Tuesday, September 15th. Welcome to the Dog Walk, presented by Barstool Sports. I'm sitting here with Chief because it's Tuesday. Chief, what up?
What's up, Ed?
Nothing, man.
Back at it. Another documentary that gave me the willies.
Yeah, it seemed like missing 411 really got to people.
That was, aside from the game and the size of my apartment, that was the talk of the apartment while we were sitting there.
Yeah,
like everybody seemed to get into that one and be like, "Whoa, what the fuck?"
Because it really was one of those where I would have watched that even if I didn't do this show.
For sure. You know? Yep.
It was agreed. A good doc. So even if you haven't watched it yet, I would recommend going back and watching that and then listening if you want to. But it was a good doc. You should definitely check it out. Today we're actually covering another doc that came out. It's kind of sweeping the U.S., I mean, maybe even the nation, slowly but surely, and I think it's only going to get bigger.
Yeah, I think right now, you know, per the Netflix algorithm, which even saying that word after watching this doc has given me a little bit of uneasiness, but it's like number 4, I think, in trending on Netflix, so it's definitely in the top 10. People are watching it, but I think you're right. I think as more people become aware, and maybe some of the people who are featured in the doc get interviewed at other places, I do think it's going to be a growing thing because it impacts literally every single one of us.
Oh yeah, big time. It's called The Social Dilemma. And before we really get into it though, I want to take a minute here to talk about Roman. Obviously most guys here have tried different ways to last longer in bed. Whether you're sitting there, you know, thinking about who's the all-time leader in hits in Major League Baseball, you know, everyone likes to pull the Wayne Gretzky stats, you know.
Yeah, all-time leading scorer, even if he never scored a goal.
Yeah, exactly. So everyone's all about that shit. So you don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to think about random stuff to last longer in bed because Roman's got your back. They have these swipes that are clinically proven as a way for you to last longer in bed. They're effective, they're easy to use, and they're fast-acting, and they don't require a prescription. Roman can ship the swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging, and each swipe packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. They're super easy to use. All you got to do is take the swipe out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry, and you're good to go. That's it. Good stuff.
Great stuff. And the last thing you want to be doing while you're having sex is thinking about something else.
Yes.
You want to be focused, be in the moment. Now you don't have to use little mind games that take you away from what you're doing. Just swipe it on, let it dry, you're good to go.
100%. So all you got to do is go to GetRoman.com/dogwalk, and you can get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/dogwalk. Go check out Roman. Go support him. All right, so The Social Dilemma. What a whirlwind. I don't even know where to start, because there was so much information. It was one of those where I talked to you a little bit about this beforehand, where I started watching it, and about the first 20 minutes, I was like, okay, I feel like I'll be able to absorb this pretty good without making like too detailed of notes. And then we got like 45 minutes. I was like, no, I need to start writing a lot more down.
Yeah, and I went through the same thing. So I started it on, I think it was Sunday night, and I was like, I'm not, I was tired. I'm like, I can't do this right now. I watched it last night on Monday night, and then I watched it again in the morning pre-recording to make sure I had everything going, because it is so much information, and some of it is techie, which is not my strong suit, we'll say. So in order to really digest it, you kind of have to slow down and like really focus and watch, because it's alarming, and it's a lot to take in.
So the gist of it, if you haven't watched yet, I assume most people, if you're listening now, you have. The gist of it is a lot of the former people who were involved with social media and tech in Silicon Valley, they came together and they talked about the dangers and the manipulations of social media.
Yeah, and it's things that have happened on purpose. You know, they did these things on purpose by design, and then now they're saying it's kind of just gotten beyond them. It's out of control. So they had one guy, and again, it is a who's who, and it's not low-level people. It's the former head of monetization for Facebook, the president of Pinterest. You have a top-level engineer for Twitter. You have a top-level, you know, senior vice president of engineering for Twitter, top-level guy at Google, a guy who designed how Gmail, GChat works, a guy who invented the like button. It's like, yeah, you know, like
the guy who invented the fucking like button.
Yeah, so it is, it's not just some, you know, secretary or, you know, entry level guy who's running something up the flagpole. It's like, no, it's people who are integral in designing essentially how we live our lives on the internet now.
Yeah. And I like how they covered every platform. Like you said, they had Google. They had he was heavy in Gmail, this guy, Twitter, Pinterest. It didn't matter.
Early developers of Instagram.
Yes. Like you were definitely hit by some platform you used.
There was one, I thought, glaring omission.
What was that?
And maybe it's Amazon. There's nobody featured from Amazon in this documentary. And I'm wondering if that's like intentional, or maybe this just doesn't apply to Amazon. I feel like it has to, but I thought that was weird.
I have some thoughts on that, actually. Okay. So we
start
can get
there.
To that. Well, okay, we'll get to that. Yeah. I don't think Amazon, and obviously if you know what we're talking about, if you've watched the doc, you know what mm-hmm. we're talking about. I don't think Amazon applies.
Why is that?
So listen, the sphere of Amazon is growing and growing and growing mm-hmm. as the days go by, it feels like, right? They're getting, they yep. bought Whole Foods. They're mm-hmm. getting into, you know, the...
Bezos is the richest man in the world.
Yes, they got into the Post. They, mm-hmm. And I don't even know if that goes... It goes hand in hand, but it doesn't. I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Right? Just because he owns it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure.
How much he editorializes.
Yes, yeah. exactly. But Amazon as a whole, it's a marketplace.
Yeah. But I think that they directly benefit from online retail, which is what a lot of these products that are, you know, this whole thing is based on, like, this algorithms and advertising models. And who, like, so how could the biggest retail giant in the world not participate in this? They might participate in it the most. Like,
yeah.
I don't know exactly, but you're right. There's less of the social component. But, you know, the Alexa, I almost feel like, you know, they have the Alexas and all these things are listening to you. And then all of a sudden you pull up your Instagram and you're just talking out loud about bedding or taking a trip or, you know, well, you need a dog bed or something like that. And then you're scrolling Instagram. And it's like the things that you just said out loud to someone sitting across the table from you pop up on your Instagram feed.
Definitely.
So, and like, that kind of stuff is weird to me, that I don't know exactly how it works, and they didn't explain that. I thought it was weird that Amazon was missing, and Apple too.
Listen, I completely understand that, but to me, I don't know the split, I don't mm-hmm. know the share, I don't know how many people are using, you know, the Amazon, or it's not called the Echo, it's called the fucking
Alexa.
Alexa, yeah. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people are using the Alexa versus how many people are mm-hmm. using Amazon Video
yeah.
versus how many people are using the site, but to me, I still think majority of people are still solely using the site to buy stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, like
yeah.
to me, that's where it's, like, that's Amazon to me.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, that it could be. Yeah. I just thought, you know, if you're talking about online commerce, which is kind of at the foundation of all of this, to have the largest online commerce company in the world of all time not be featured, I thought was a little odd, but maybe they just want to keep it specifically to
yeah.
social.
No, I know, because I've never, for instance, I've never
there
scrolled.
There is no social component to Amazon.
Yes, I've yeah. never scrolled to Amazon and been like, oh my gosh, I'm ready to jump out the window. You know, like, it's products for mm-hmm. the most part. And of course,
yeah.
like you said, you dip into the Alexa mm-hmm. and you dip into the video portion, but that's just really, that's the same as Netflix.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
their video, mm-hmm. their instant video, but I don't know, I've never been there where it's like, oh my God, this is like horrible, where it's like, this is polluting society.
Yeah. So maybe we should just focus on the other ones then.
Yeah.
So there was one thing, like, right off the jump that I found sort of concerning, just inherently, is that they described the world of, you know, the people who are designing these things. And they said, overwhelmingly, it's 20 to 35-year-old white guys who are designing the tech that really influences and controls the world. And I feel like I've said this either on this podcast or radio, other places. That's alarming just because that means it's smarter people like us, but still morons. Like, you don't even have your fully formed brain until you're 25 to 28 as a man. So, like, your prefrontal cortex. So if you're going to have, like, a 22-year-old, 23-year-old kid who's a brilliant engineer, designing, thinking of these things, coming up with ways for people to stay engaged and use it more and all that, he's not looking at it like, he just can't. He physically can't, doesn't matter how smart he is, from like a holistic, like, is this good? Should we have other things on it? He's just kind of singularly focused, and it, like, he's not capable of making, like, great decisions. He yeah. might have great ideas and ways to apply those inside of what his job is, but you lack decision making and big picture thinking when you're at that age. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So that to me was like, ooh. So now you have, like, morons, even if they might be quote geniuses, deciding all these things. Like, that's kind of almost inherently bad that it is young people without the foresight of and the world experience of how these things could damage people.
For sure. And mm-hmm. there, it's a twofold thing, right? Because one, there's like the whole, just not enough life has been lived to really fully understand everything,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's what like I always get to, mm-hmm. where it's like, that guy could be the smartest fucking dude in the world, you know?
But he's not wise.
Yes. Stanford, mm-hmm. Harvard, yep. wherever you want to fucking call it. And he knows all about, you know, X, but he doesn't know about Y. So
right.
I completely understand. Yeah.
And it seems like we're seeing that play out in real time here. It's like a meme, like a 21st century meme of like Frankenstein, where it's like you have these brilliant mad scientists who create something and that just gets beyond their control. And they just, it's come to life and there's no putting the, you know, they said in the doc, this is a common phrase, there's no putting the genie back in the bottle. There's no putting the toothpaste back in the tube. Like, this is where we are now. Like, they've designed these things. The things are improving and changing themselves without any human oversight, because that's like the idea of artificial intelligence. And it's getting scary. So we can kind of continue. We can kind of get into the nitty gritty if that's what you
want
to do.
Yeah, we probably start with the Google guy, right? Is that where you want to go? Because
yeah.
he's the first guy.
Yeah, so there's this Tristan guy, and he's spoken to Congress. He's become kind of maybe the ethical voice out of Silicon Valley in the tech world, or the face of it anyways. And he was sitting there he designed Gmail, basically. Like, he came up with Google Chat. He's like, you know, everything down to, what are the colors? What should the notification sound be? They think of everything to make it more user friendly or user
addictive.
Or addictive. And then he got to a point where he was like, man, like, I'm on my phone and my computer. I'm addicted to my own email. Is anybody in the company, we've thought of everything. Is anybody thinking of a way to make this a little bit less invasive and a little less addictive?
Yeah, he said he was getting on the bus to go to work, you know, the Google bus on their campus over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he would get on and everyone would just be on their phones, much like it is in, you know, public transportation
yeah,
today.
Anywhere else, yeah.
And he was just kind of, he seemed like bothered by it.
Yeah, like it was like a moral conundrum. So yeah. he went back and, you know, he didn't quit his job or anything, at least not right away, but he started putting together this presentation about what is Google's ethical responsibility in this space when it comes to tech and how they manipulate people and how people use their product and how they treat their users. And it was a widespread presentation. He said he sent it to like 15 or 20 people at Google that he works with closely, that he trusts. And he got a ton of very positive feedback right away. So it was this long, well thought out thesis. It looked like it sounded like it was done as like an Excel or a PowerPoint rather. And it got all the way up to Larry Page, who's a Google CEO. And they said that Larry Page was made aware of it, according to this guy, in three different meetings that day. And then no one ever really did anything.
Just disappeared.
Yeah. So it was like it made a wave, made a ripple. You know, in the short term, people were aware of this presentation, positive feedback, went up to the highest office in the company, which you could argue is one of the highest offices in the world because it's Google. And then it just fizzled out and died. And I think he got frustrated by that. So he started going on kind of this campaign to raise more awareness because he felt like he couldn't do it internally.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was, and the guy... I like the guy. I don't know. You know, it's tough.
Yeah.
The thing, and it's in an hour and a half, you don't really get to know someone clearly, mm-hmm. especially over a edited piece of work. But he just seemed like a trustworthy guy.
I would agree.
You know,
I would agree. And a guy with, you know, a moral compass is what it felt like. And he kind of, you know, they broke it down. It was him, and they had several other people talking about what's at the root of this. And if you've watched the movie Social Network, when Facebook first launches and it's Timberlake and Zuckerberg, and they're talking about, you know, wanting to put advertisements on there. And Zuckerberg was like, you know, let's not do that yet. Like, let's just have it be a thing. Let's just have it be cool. And so there were no ads on Facebook, which is why I drafted it in the draft, because it was cool back then, 05 to 09. It was the prime time of Facebook. And then they began to monetize it. And Facebook used the Google. They were like, Google has done this very eloquently, where they have, it's a search box, and it's like this unbelievable tool. Google, and that's the other thing about this. Google, Twitter, Uber, all these apps are fucking amazing. Like, I would not want to necessarily get rid of them or live in a world where they don't have them. Like, being able to, you know, get news instantly to your phone or get any information that you want about anything in a heartbeat is incredible. I wouldn't want to go back to like having a fold up map to decide where I'm going to go, or having to like wait for a cab or call a cab. Like 21st century tech is like, it's unbelievable, and it's like a blessing, but it's also, there's this underbelly side of it that makes things very scary.
And that's what the Tristan Google guy said. He's like, listen, everyone was wide eyed and bushy tailed because social media and, you know, Google and search engines and everything was supposed to make things easier and better.
And but, in some ways it has.
Yes.
Many ways.
In a lot of ways. Yeah. But there's a lot of ways that they didn't even consider how it would damage things.
Yeah. And they said that, and, you know, they showed like a clip of Jack from Twitter being in front of Congress having the hearing. And he's like, you know, when we built this thing, we never anticipated any you know, people trying to manipulate people or fake news. Like, we were just trying to like have a conversation social media channel through this app. Like, we didn't think like Russian interference or Chinese manipulation or government, you know, U.S. government. Like, no one thought of that. Like, he's like, no, it was beyond our wildest dreams. Like, we were just kind of dicking around. But it was when they started to really monetize, which is when things kind of got fucked up. Because you have to monetize, right? Like, this is, you know, everyone, you should, if you're going to have something so widely used, there's got to be a way to make money. So Facebook tried to follow the Google model, which there's advertisements that come up right away. They're clearly marked as ads. And then you kind of get your search results, but then you can kind of, you know, manipulate the algorithm and manipulate your own SEO to be at the top of it. And it's like this competition to get eyeballs. And that's what Facebook really tried to mimic. But they did say some kind of profound or insightful things. They said, you know, if you're not paying for the product,
you are the product.
You are the product. So that if you're using Facebook, Twitter, all these like incredible platforms are free. They're free. And that's because they're free to you, but you're paying for them with your own, like the data that you provide them. And the other thing they didn't really talk about is dating apps, too. That was another one that was in there. But there was another show called a documentary series called Connected on Netflix that they spent a little bit of time on the dating apps. And they're like, those ones are sneaky, the most effective. Mm-hmm. Because you just voluntarily tell them everything about yourself. And you think it's just going to a potential soulmate.
Oh, no. Those transcripts are getting tossed on some type of web page. Mm-hmm.
And they have you... Like, are you active? Are you, do you smoke? Are you political? Do you drink? Do you do this? Do you do that? And you just hand over every single, like, little bit of information, and then they sell it, and then it's like, that pops up on your Instagram feed.
Oh, yeah.
So, that is a thing, but it's like, because these are all free, somebody is paying for them, and the advertiser paying for them, and the advertisers are, they had one person say that, the customers are the advertiser, the product is the user attention and engagement. And then a guy who is an author who's been studying this since like 2006, he comes in and says, that's actually not deep enough. He said that it is the gradual, slight, imperceptible change in behavior that is the product. So it's not just your attention. They want your attention, and then they want you to do something about it. And so that is without you really being aware. They don't want you to be like... You know, Alexa said this, they listened to me, and now they have that, you know, pair of jeans on my feed that look great, and I need a pair of jeans, so I'm going to buy it. Yeah. So that is really what they're selling, is that change of being able to predict and change behavior of the users.
Yeah, he was an interesting dude.
Yeah. So, and then if you think about it, like, if you think about traditional advertisement, even if it's just like a billboard, okay? So people pay a lot of money for those billboards. You put them on next to the highway, and they're based upon how many eyeballs you're going to see. So it's like this particular stretch of highway has 90,000 cars pass through every day between, 7 and 9 a.m. You're going to get X amount of impressions. But it's, a lot of those impressions are going to be from maybe single women who don't need to see Brian Urlacher's hair transplant. Like, it's just never going to apply to them. Mm-hmm. That never happens with tech. Tech, you're getting things that are tailor-made to you, curated for you, that you're the most possible likely way to get that to buy that product. If you're a woman, you're never going to see Brian Urlacher pitching hair replacement surgery.
Yeah, the way they presented it was with kind of three almost evil, sinister guys.
Yeah.
Looking
Peter Campbell from fucking Mad Men, which was bizarre to see.
Yeah, looking at the just like the body of a, it looks like, I forget the exact word of what that would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, I would say that they used three, it was like clones almost of this actor who was the personification of the AI system. So the AI, the algorithm, it's like, okay, like this guy's not using his social media as much. Like, how do we get him to get back in? He hasn't used it in 24 hours. Let's send him a push notification that his friend has logged in. You can wave hi to him. And then all of a sudden you get that notification, bang, you're on, you're scrolling through things, you're seeing things, you're re-engaged.
And what really got me is in that conversation, like, oh, let's keep him. Let's toss him to three bubbles.
Yeah.
So he knows that his friend is responding. So it's like, all right, we're going to keep his, his use
yep.
on this app a little longer mm-hmm. because we're gonna show him that a reply is coming.
Well, I mean, even with the fucking text messages, like having somebody have the three dots and then the dots go away, you're like, it's a fucking cliffhanger. So that was like a very relatable piece of the documentary. It's like those three dots, the bubble dots, where something else is coming. You better just keep your focus for another 5-10 seconds as the person finishes typing. And that, you know, and that was another thing that they said. And they said, as they kept going with these algorithms, you know, you get a dopamine response every time that you refresh that is very similar to how the human brain reacts to slot machines. And you know how like slot machines are hyper addictive and those, you know, even, you know, little old ladies will just sit there and just pump that thing full of quarters and pull that for, you know, hours.
Something's coming.
And then the difference between a slot machine and this is that it's all things for you. It's people you know. It's, you know, people you follow, things that you like. So no matter, it's like you win every time. Mm-hmm. You know, every time you pull the lever, which is you're swiping down to refresh, something else is popping up that is designed for you. So it's like you get something out of it, even if you don't want to see. And that was another thing that they did. Like this guy's, they ran through the scenario where this kid was, you know, put his phone away for a challenge for like, several days or a week. And, they're like, well, we better give him a push notification that his ex is dating someone.
Yeah.
And he's, because that, like, no one can resist that. Because now it's at, like, your deepest levels. And they say that these algorithms, you know, they say that, you know, they're marketing, like, human futures. Like, they're marketing human behaviors. And the algorithms will change and grow. And they have a way of tracking, like, everything that you do. Everything, and it's precise. So they had the one of the former lead engineers of Twitter saying, if you look at a picture on Instagram or you look at a picture or a tweet or something like that, it is tracking exactly how long you looked at that picture. If it's 1 second, maybe you don't get that type of picture put to the front of your algorithm. If you look at it for 7 seconds, you're going to get a lot of similar pictures. Mm-hmm. So then if it's like, okay, so we're going to put these types of pictures up where he's going to scroll because we know he focuses on those for 7 seconds. And then we're going to splice in ads for other things that we know he needs because his attention is going to be locked in because he is hyper-focused on those things.
And the point is, it just shows that nothing is by accident.
Nothing is by accident, and they have information about everything. They're like, they know when you're depressed. They know when you're lonely. They know when you're happy. They know when you're around your family. They just know everything.
Yeah.
And they're very, very precise to the point that there are classes taught at Stanford, MIT, Harvard, and these computer programming classes where it's called tech and psychological changes and vulnerability for humans. So this was another like kind of graph that the guy Tristan from Google put out there. And there's like this always when people talk about AI, they think about Terminator and they think about this, you know, apocalyptic future where robots are just murdering humans left and right. And he said that is when AI has taken over humans at their strongest. Like they've just collapsed human civilization. He goes, we've already surpassed the point where AI knows how to manipulate us at our weakest. So it's like, oh, like all of your, you know, if you got a problem, you know, like I have a problem where I overeat, I would say, and I feel like I get a lot of Barada ads. I get a lot of Barada content on there. And it just makes
do
me
you?
Want. Oh yeah,
yeah,
big time. And I follow like, you know, and I end up following like different restaurants and food accounts, and I feel like that triggers me to buy. You know, now I feel like I should go and unfollow those things because like that is something that they put up there, and then all of a sudden I'm on Postmates for that restaurant.
Hmm.
Or even restaurants I don't necessarily follow, but yeah. they pop up. And it's like they know what I like to eat. So they just send me those types of things. So it's like they, if you think that they're not paying attention to literally everything that you do, you're wrong.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. And then they also said that they can manipulate how forceful it is. Like they literally have a dial. And it's like, we want more engagement in Japan today. We want more engagement in Southern California. So they use the word dial. That's their word. We can dial it up to get engagement up and get people more fired up and things like that. And it just becomes like, holy shit. Like they know how to feast on your basic instincts.
Big time.
Yeah.
And then they do that, and we might get to it, but mm-hmm. there was the country who they loaded Facebook onto your app, onto your phone when you bought
Myanmar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. That was a crazy part of the doc.
Yeah. And how much are they paying for that? How much is Facebook paying to do that?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to stop it right there. We went a lot long, Chief.
Longest ever.
Longest ever. Very long episode for us. So stop right now. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you then.